Just as a heads up, we found out that everything going on today with the weather, and I guess, is create a little bit of a bandwidth issue online. So if you're having problems watching, if you're getting kicked off or anything, having to come back, know that we are recording it and that we will post the worship service later, if you, regardless of whether we have problems or not, we do that. But know that you can find that later on today. I thank you all for continuing to support the church in such a wonderful way. It allows us to do many of the things that we're doing. We're helping some people right now, things like electric bills and those sorts of things. We're making sure that school supplies, all kinds of stuff. And we thank you that you've allowed for a place that we can do that and we can worship God all at the same time. So we thank you for that. Also, we have some prayer requests. We take these to God as well, and we've received these online. Kim and Rain, Gail Hines on the death of her, or Gail Haynes on the death of her sister. Berta Perkins on the death of her brother. Julie Bomar has asked for prayers for people on the Gulf Coast who are facing Hurricane Sally, and she's going to be traveling back to Tennessee all in the midst of all of this, so we ask prayers for Julie. The family of Maida Prince, a terribly sad story that Deborah Eckert has shared with us last week, that she had gone missing, and they regrettably found her, and she's gone to be with the Lord. So we ask for prayers for her as well. We ask prayers for Dave as he continues through medical procedures, making sure that all is good and well with him. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for that are in here today? That any prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Young man's grandmother was instrumental in getting our Mother's Day out here for years. She was a baby whisperer, and this young man's in a trauma unit in Alabama.
Beverly was instrumental in our Mother's Day Out program, getting it started, and her grandson, Landon, had a car accident. He's in the trauma unit in Alabama. So he's had a surgery to repair his leg. He's facing some other surgeries, including some head surgeries, so we need to be in prayer for that family as well. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for?
Dick Scales' family, he passed away, and also Frank passed away.
Yep. Frank Barrett's, his family, he passed away. He was in rehab. He'd been dealing with COVID for, 3 months or so.
Dick Scales.
And what was his the first name?
Vic.
Nick Scales. Yep, I remember. So we pray for Frank Barrett and the family Nick. I wanted to read something. I talked about last week the 23rd Psalm, and I just thought about this morning and wanted to read it. So if we could go to God in prayer with this, and we'll end it with the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray this and pray your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the last week that we're going to talk about the Lord's, but not the last week we're ever going to talk about it, but you know, the last in this sermon series. So we'll read it one more time. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial. We say, lead me not into temptation. And we say that for we can find it just fine all by ourselves. I don't need the Lord's help. I got the address, zip code, phone number, Wi-Fi password, last 4 digits of Social Security number, and the mother's maiden name of temptation. I don't need any help finding temptation. I know them. I can name my temptations. Why would we worry about God leading us to where we know that we can get on our own? We know temptations, and don't get lewd about that word temptations either. They look like all kinds of different things, and we get good at avoiding those temptations. We do. We don't search out temptation. We know that when we've run into temptation that we need to turn the other way. Most of the time we can name our temptations and so we can handle them. We're grown-ups. By and large, we're in control. We're okay. But when we have misstepped, we've repented, or I hope we've repented anyway. We've explained it away in our minds or made excuses of it if we haven't. And being that we're not perfect, we probably do that. But at least we know we're trying. Thank God for God's grace when we're trying to figure out how to get this all straight. We're a work in progress. We get that. I recall Liz Reese in Lebanon telling me one time after she'd blessed somebody else that 95% of her was saved by Jesus. Jesus was still working on about 5% though. And that's probably a good reason for us to pray this prayer of temptation. It's probably a pretty good idea that we pray that the Lord strengthens us and rights us and keeps us on the path that we know is right and good. So that's a good prayer. But I'm going to say this morning that that kind of temptation is not the temptation that maybe Jesus was suggesting that we pray about. Maybe he was talking about a different kind of temptation. Because, you see, I think there are two kinds of temptations. Not just one, but two. There's two temptations. There's the temptations that we know. The temptations that we're aware of. We can know those temptations, and that's a good thing, because if we can name them, we can avoid them. That's one kind of temptation. But then there's the other kind. And that's the kind that we don't know we've been tempted at all. We don't like admitting that any more than we like admitting that we ever got suckered on a car deal. But is it possible that there are times where we're tempted and we didn't even know there was a temptation? It's hard not to fall in evil's trap when we don't know the game that's being played, and sometimes we don't know it when we've been tempted at all. Now, all the phones are going off because we have a flood warning, I'm sure. I'm being tempted. See, here's the thing about evil. I used to think it was real flamboyant. Right? Like nobody but Satan wore a red cape and carried a pitchfork walking around. You know, we've sort of made evil out to be something that we just can't miss, especially us Christians when we're trying to judge people. We know what sin looks like there, just saying. But it's not like evil can be sneaking around when it stands out like that. And that's what I used to think about temptation. Temptation, I thought, were those things that were wrong, and either I was successful at avoiding them or, well, I wouldn't, you know? But either way, I thought those temptations were hard to miss, which put a lot of blame on me. You know, if it's really hard to miss and I screw up, then it's my fault, right? But I've come to believe that there's another kind of temptation, and it's the one that you don't even see coming. We follow a path thinking it looks just like God's path, but we find out it's no path at all. Maybe it's a hamster wheel. It's the sin that we don't know is sin that is by far evil's most dangerous trick. And I don't know about you, but I don't like getting tricks played on me. I don't like that happening. So I want to say this. I'm of the belief that most people in this world are doing just about as good as they know how. Maybe I'm a sucker. Maybe I'm naive. I don't know. Or maybe I'm right that no matter the situation, most folks are doing just the best that they know how. And so I believe that where most humans get off path, where most of us stray from God's will, are not those places in our lives where we find a fork in the road and we don't know which one, or we know which one leads to God's will and which one doesn't. Like one of them's an interstate with road signs and we know which way to go. That's not where we get off path, where signs are everywhere. It's when the road splits and we miss the sign that shows us the way. It's where the road splits and we see one way and it's wide. And it's pretty, and it's good, and it has all the things that we like. It has gas stations so we can keep going. It's got restaurants so we can keep our bellies full. It has a nice road so we don't have to worry about traveling with anybody that we don't want to travel with. And then there's that other winding road, you know, with a little nothing rocky, narrow gate, muddy. And on it, we might have to trust Jesus that 5 loaves and 2 fish are enough. And it's not that really rocky and muddy as it looks, though. Not when you're walking with Jesus, right? That brother walks on water. But it's a paradox. The roads can look different about what looks like God's will and what doesn't. It's the wide road that leads to glory, or is it the narrow path? Maybe we think we can get there both ways. Maybe we think we can take the wide road for a while and hop off the exit and get to where we need to go. See, finding the way of Christ is hard to recognize sometimes. We get fooled with things that look appealing but don't hold what's best for us. Or maybe there's this one. Maybe the two paths don't look that much different after all. That might be the case too, because I don't believe the devil has to change much to get us off path. God's will doesn't have to be tweaked, but just a hair, and we'll suddenly start going down the wrong path. See, 1 degree difference up close doesn't matter, but you get out there, you can see how far we've gotten off path. See, if I'm going to tell a story, if I'm going to tell a lie because I need you to do something or believe something or whatever, I don't need to tell you a whopper. You'll see right through that. But if I change the story just a little bit, just a hair, so that you don't know, then I got you going down the wrong path. Allegedly, that's what I've heard about lies anyway. See, evil can be that way. Evil takes what is right. Evil takes what is good. Evil takes even what is holy and slowly morphs it into what it's no longer, so it's no longer what it once was. And sometimes it's done so gently, so sneakily, that we don't know that it's different than the thing it used to be. That's what turns attractions into lusts. It's what turns accomplishment into greed. It's what turns freedom into doing whatever I want to do. It turns healthy skepticism into ridiculous skepticism. It slowly morphs what is good into something that is not of God at all. And the very worst part is we might not even recognize it. And worse than that, maybe, is that sometimes we call the good thing bad and the bad thing good. Because we got fooled. And bless our hearts, we're trying the best we know how. We just mistake the value of things. Thank God for grace. God gives it so freely. God gets us. We're trying. But sometimes we just miss. Did y'all hear about the Rembrandt painting the other day? Did y'all hear about this? Rembrandt was a famous painter in the 1600s. I looked that up on the internet. That's literally all I know about Rembrandt. But what I found out is this. Back in 1951, the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, England, acquired a painting called Head of a Bearded Man, thinking it was from Rembrandt's own hand, right? But 30 years later, in 1982, the Rembrandt Project, a bunch of really smart people that know Rembrandt paintings, determined that the painting was fake. It was a forgery painted by somebody who tried to get as close as he could to the real thing to fool everybody who looked at it. Well, 2020 is full of surprises, isn't it? And one of the surprises this year is another group has come back. They've learned more stuff about Rembrandt, and they found that, lo and behold, they think this painting is real now. They believe Rembrandt actually painted it. And my point is, how good are the forgeries if we can't tell them one from another? How close must they be to the real thing? How close is it to the thing the Creator made, even though it's made fraudulently by somebody else? And if painters can get that close, how close do you think the master lies can get to tease us off course? They'll turn things like justice that God called for into charity, which doesn't change a thing. It's what turns us into us versus them. It turns discussion into argument and argument into division. It's close, but it's not the same thing. At church, I bring good news because I know a prayer. Jesus gives us hope in a certain prayer. We're not stuck in blindly following temptation. It can be revealed to us, God, with God's help. It's that kind of temptation, that stuff that's so hard to see coming, the stuff that masquerades as good but leads us into a wilderness of sin. It's that kind of temptation in which we find God's greatest miracle. It's where we can find God's greatest hope, because while it is beautiful that God strengthens our resolve in those places where we see sin 2020, it's when we say this prayer that we were taught to say that we ask God to show us what we see. The prayer we pray is a prayer of vision so that we can see clearly. It's like blind spots in a car, right? Some cars you can't see out of. I drive an SUV and something can be in a blind spot and I have absolutely no idea it's there. But on Suzanne's car, her Altima, it's got a light on the side mirror that shows if there's something in the blind spot so that you will be tempted. You won't be tempted by what you do not see. And if you put the blinker on when somebody's there, then it screams at you, tells you not to go that way. And that's what we ask from God. Just, Lord, show me my blind spots. Don't let us change lanes and cause a wreck. Don't let us change lanes and put us all in the ditch, but teach us what we cannot miss. And praise be to God, because church, I've read a lot of scripture about blind men being led to see, you know? I praise God this morning because I've had my blind spots revealed to me too. I'm not bold enough to say that God's revealed all my blind spots, but I'm bold enough to say I can see better than I used to. Amen. I know times when my eyes have been opened and those temptations that we need to know about have been revealed. It's those we need to know about that we never venture off God's path when all we want to do anyway is stay right smack dab in the middle of it, right? Now here's the thing about prayer. We can't just pray that God lead us away from temptation, but then forget about that after the amen. We can't pray and forget. You know, the military has those fire and forget missiles. Prayer's not like that. Like, if you need a fence painted at your house and you call me up and I come over with my paintbrush, and when I get there, you go inside, you don't worry about the fence no more, I'm not really worried about that much either, right? All I'm saying is that if we're praying for it, we got to stick around after the amen and put our legs to prayer. That's all I'm getting at. Like if we're being praying to be led from temptation, and then we just start walking across the street willy-nilly without looking, we're still going to get hit by sin. That's all I'm getting at. If we're praying this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and we're praying that God leads us away from temptation, then we ought to be reading our scriptures so good that we know what temptation looks like, you know? I haven't heard God speak out of thin air nearly as much as I've heard God speaking out of the Word. So are we studying the Word, trying to make sure we see everything that we might not have seen before? I mean, Scripture was given for us to improve our vision of God. And so if we're not looking through the eyeglasses, we can't see the writing on the wall. Are we reading good books of faith? We have to be careful there. We have to know what we're reading and listening to and following. You all already suspect in that because you've been listening to me for 4.5 years. So be better about that. Are we inventorying our life and making sure we're walking down the path that we need to be walking down? Because there is no autopilot in faith. Our faith is built upon contemplation and thinking our way through it. Are we doing that? Praise God, I think we are, or we wouldn't be in here or online today. Or we aren't, but praise God, we can be. We just need to pray this prayer and then humbly allow God to show us our blind spots to make sure that we haven't missed anything. We can only see what God has made visible to us if we are always yearning to keep our eyes open, if we're always hungering and thirsting to look into the world exactly as God intends us to. Now, I don't suggest we worry ourselves to death. Don't take that from it. We can be our worst enemy if we're judging ourselves every moment. But in our whole life, we ought to be on the lookout, ready to return to the path at any moment if we find that we have slowly ventured off. We won't be off far. We'll still be able to hear God's call. Because here's the thing. God's already got all this planned out for us. God's already got all this worked out for us. The way the world is supposed to work, how people are supposed to live together, how we are supposed to be is already figured out. The path has been made. The trail has been blazed. And while we are drawn away by temptation, though we sin because other ways look good too, or even like the face sometimes, even though we are tempted by always there drawing us back. God's always calling us back to the way of Christ that was taught by Him 2,000 years ago. So this week, do this. Pray and study. Bask in what God says. And even when the way of Jesus Christ looks absolutely insane, even when it looks like a narrow path through a narrow gate, follow it and see where it goes. Go for an adventure. Pray to God that you're not led to any other path, but that you are shown the right path through Scripture, through the faith like Jesus Christ had, through prayer and discernment, whatever. Pray to God that you follow the path even when you don't understand why you're walking down that path at all. Because praise be to God, we might suddenly start showing grace where another way looked better before. We might start showing mercy when we've been fooled to think that punishment changes people instead. We might make a peace in a day that so desperately needs it. So go in faith and know that as you do, as you pray, as you study, as you serve, that the blind spots will be revealed and the way of Christ will be beautiful than it even was before, if that's even possible. So lead us not into temptation. We can find that ourselves. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, Amen. We will have one more song that is apropos of the day. It's Higher Ground. We don't have lyrics because we had to change this one real quick, and we thought this was wonderful, not only in its theology, but in its weather as well. So y'all be safe. Don't get out if you can keep from. It's going to rain a whole bunch today. So y'all stay home and be safe and pray for those that are out. God bless. Group of people we got playing these instruments, and I don't say it because two of them are my sons and one of them's a good friend. I just say it because they're awesome. So thank you all so much for leading us in music. We are sorry James couldn't be here. I wish him the best on his way home as he tries to make it back home. Let's go to God in prayer again, please. Lord, we thank you for this day. This day was such a gift, man. I don't care if it's raining outside and weather and all that. Still. A day, a time, a place to live. Everything that we experience today is still a gift because it's real and it's of you. And so, Lord, we just ask that as we go into that world that is a gift, that we treat it exactly as you would have us treat it. Show us, Lord, exactly how beautiful it is. Show us in relationships and in conversations and in service and in scripture and in faith and in prayer and in everything that we do in our world. Show us the beauty of this creation. And where we have blind spots, where we maybe just can't crane our neck on our own to see well enough, Lord, and we ask you that you just put those blind spots out in front of us so we can see them clearly. Open our eyes, open our ears, allow us to see and hear what we have not seen and heard before, so that we can follow that beautiful gift just a little bit closer than we did yesterday. Lord, we know this is not about works. We know it's about what you give us. And we just ask that you give us that in every way we can so that we can see the beauty of this creation and live just like you would call us to live. Lord, thank you for this day. And all of God's people said, amen. It's good, I guess, to see. I don't see you online. I look at you, but I can't see you. But thank you for coming and joining us online. Thank you all. Savetta, it's good to see you. You came in the midst of a storm. You showed up today. So thank you for being here. It's good to see everybody else. God bless you all. Leo, you are not going to the woods today.